Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Presidential primaries do tend to drag on, don't they? Well, maybe that's a good thing. No president was ever elected because of a knee-jerk response at the polls. By the time we start pulling levers, we're pretty sure of our decisions. But what should be our criteria? Here to help us on that topic is Kevin James, Associate Director for Public Affairs and Religious Liberty for the Southern Union of Seventh-day Adventists. He's talking to us from his office in Norcross, Georgia. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the ongoing political three-ring circus we witness each night on the evening news? What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a race that I've never witnessed before. I think it's totally unconventional anymore. Man. I can remember early on that thinking of how things were going to develop. As far as what candidates would rise to the top, you know, you've cut your field down pretty fast to the two people that you're going to be after. And yet now we've seen in this one, it didn't happen that way. And you're also seeing the whole idea, what they call establishment candidates. They're just not on people's radar today, at least for those that are going to the polls. There seems to be a lot of interest, a lot of resistance to having the professional politician back in. Just give us anything except a professional politician. Yes. That's what's kind of, in a way, it's kind of fresh. I like to see fresh stuff, too. But on the other side, it's kind of scary with some of the things that we hear.
Yes. That's a good word for it, scary. And anyone who listens to the news, reads the newspaper, or checks their iPod or iPad and sees what's going on, scary is a good word for it. And I'm like you. I say, well, okay, maybe we really need something to come along that is just totally off the wall, totally weird. Maybe that's what we need. Has that ever happened before? Have we ever had a candidate that came into office that was just so different that it actually worked?
I'm not a great historian on a presidential history, to be honest with you. I know that we've had very lively type of campaigns go on for various reasons over various issues. So that's probably nothing new in that sense. But I think it's a very rare thing for somebody to come completely from the outside of the system and do really any measurable good. I can't think of anybody like that. Perhaps you can. Again, that's not my area of expertise. But I know I've heard talk that the rejection of the establishment candidate seems to be kind of a newer thing than has happened in the past. And it's very persistent, too. It's very, especially in light of what some of the candidates have said and how they conduct themselves and, you know the mudslinging that's been going on. It's just been kind of breathtaking how people are still in strong support of candidates who say some very disrespectful and, you know, you would say non-politically correct kind of statements, but they're not even, I wouldn't class it as politically correct. They're not even decent statements.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, I initially think of Abraham Lincoln. He came in and he was different from anything. He was just this tall, lanky guy with the big top hat, and he told jokes, and he was just a different kind of guy, and that worked out all right. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's take personality out of this, Kevin James. Let's say that they're all the same person, that there is no Donald Trump, there is no Bernie Sanders, there is no Hillary Clinton. These people are all generic people. Are they talking about the things that need to be talking about? Are they discussing, are they debating things that really need to be debated here, or is their silliness overtaking their content?
Wow. Well, in some of what's been going on, I think some of the content has been kind of silly and degrading, actually, in some ways.
Yes.
But, you know, I think you're getting it. We are seeing some typical debates going on typical issues that matter. You know, you always talk about the economy. That's a big deal. And apparently that's from studies that are being done by various polls, that's part of the drive behind, quote-unquote, getting that non-establishment candidate. But they're talking about economy. They're talking about the military being strong there. Of course, we've got this great fear now with since 9/11 with the whole issue of terrorism. And that is a very concerning thing. We see what's happening over in Europe, and we've seen what's happened here in our country with San Bernardino most recently. So we are talking about some of those issues, but some of them get, you know, a little out of whack, I think, as far as some of the things that are discussed. But sometimes there's a lot of mudslinging anyway. It kind of detracts from what's important. And I think, of course, religious liberty issues are being brought up, especially in the area of the same-sex marriages. Things that we've got going on right now are actually coming up, and they've been kind of interesting debates. But one thing I've noticed this cycle, and it seems like in the last two cycles we've got more of it, but I've heard a lot of professions of faith, God talk is what I call it, from the politicians. Very clear, very, you know, unambiguous, and very frequent.
Yes.
And I have found that to be quite interesting. We've always had God talk in our discussions and campaigns in the history of it, but it seems like it's just really busy with that. And I think part of that has to do with the whole issue of the same-sex marriage, but it seems to be very front and center on the discussions.
And when you hear this God talk, Kevin James, is it the kind of God talk that would make a good president, or is it the kind of God talk that would get someone elected?
Well, that's a good question. I think Americans have always wanted their elected officials to have some kind of faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I think people of faith are good people to have. I think that people without faith could probably be very good people to have also.
Yes, yes.
But in America, you know, a faith thing is very important. Now, when I'm hearing God talk, I mean, I'm not against people having faith. As I just said, I think that's a nice thing to have if that's what they're doing. Where I think it starts bothering me is just is what their relationship is to what their faith is and how that faith would play into their particular position, you know, that they're trying to be voted into as the presidency of the United States. Do they see themselves as pastor-in-chief, or do they see themselves as the president of the United States? And those are areas that would concern me, because I don't think the president is to be the pastor-in-chief.
Yeah.
As a president, we have a large community of very diverse faiths and people of no faith, and some, even though I think a person can be informed by their values, I think that's important. I think it's important, though, too, that they be respectful of the other values and opinions that are out there and try to listen to all sides as best as you can. And then, you know, try to find some reasonable way to work things through.
There you go. I like what you just said there. It is not enough for a candidate to have a faith. What we need is a candidate who has a faith. That's fine if they want to have a faith, but they're respectful of other faiths. And that's what I'm not seeing. I'm seeing candidates being foul-mouthed. I'm seeing candidates being sarcastic. I'm seeing candidates just not really being respectful. We need to find someone who not only has a faith that we can get on board with and has a respect for other people. That's a good point, Kevin.
Well, I think it's very important. I think, you know, you're taking a big risk, too. I mean, when you're going to stand out there and you're going to proclaim your faith, what we have to do is then show what our faith has done for us.
Yes.
And I agree with you that what has been on display hasn't been... I've had a lot of cringe moments during this campaign. I mean, I know there are private moments, but I just cringe in listening. And to hear how they act and what they say, and I have a sense about what my faith as a Christian ought to be doing for individuals and in my own life in particular. And when I hear things that definitely go against what I feel one who is expressing their religion ought to be like, it's just those cringe moments that I don't care for. And I get concerned about that.
So, bottom line then, what should be the criteria that we as Christians have when we look at this circus going on and we see all these performers juggling their thoughts and moving around on their little bicycles and whatnot? When we see that, what should be our criteria for making the decision of who we're going to vote for this year?
When I look at a candidate, one of the first things that I'm interested in, being in religious liberty as I am, I'm always interested in a candidate's stance on religious freedom and what that means to them and what they see as their vision for the country and what they understand about the country and its history in that. That's really my first thing. A candidate also needs to display competency. I think they need to display, you know, a good grasp of the issue, not narrow-minded grasp, but a much broader, nuanced view of things. And I think they need to carry themselves in a demeanor of respect. I have a lot of regard for candidates that do try to stay above board, you know, and try to act decent and respectful towards each other. I know ultimately, you know, mudslinging becomes a part of it. But, you know, I really like those ones who try to stay above the fray on that and try to show that they've got a temperament that is balanced and it has a broad picture of things and some basic principles how to work within that to keep them level and, you know, in the water, so to speak. And you're not seeing any of this rash and brash. And I don't know, some of the things that come out of some politician's mouth, you kind of wonder, you know, if you want that person having their finger on the button, dealing with our own defense. It's just kind of a little scary.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see people that display self-control and respect to themselves and to others as well, even though they may disagree.
I like that because that's basically where I'm coming from, too. You know, I look at these candidates and I say, well, what kind of America do I want? Do I want a candidate? Do I want an America that has that kind of personality, that has that kind of character? And I can look at the candidates and I say, well, no, not really. Not that one. That one's kind of dangerous. But that one is a little bit more in line with the way I want America to be. And that may not be influenced by the what he or she says or how she or she looks or what the sound bites that person gives or how silly they may be. I'm looking for those fundamental character traits that I want to incorporate into the country I want to live in. What, am I on the right track if I say that?
As an American, yeah. I would say that too because, you know, they're going to be representing America and you know, what kind of representation do I want projected out there into the world kind of thing. I think that is very important. How a person conducts themselves, at least in my feelings, how a person conducts themselves on the campaign trail is going to say a lot about how they're going to conduct themselves in the office should they be voted into that. And I think we need to sit back and soberly think about that. And I think most of the Americans' electorate does that. I think we've been blessed with a history of, I think, some real good sober thinking from Americans, from the voting public, that they look at, you know, what's coming, and it's always been good. And I hope the same thing happens again, that there's going to be a lot of discernment once we get past what I think is a lot of this stage right now is mostly entertainment.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned, a lot of entertainment value. But as they move forward, we seem to find American public seems to find a middle of the road.
Oh, well said. And very encouraging words today from Kevin James. He is the Associate Director for Public Affairs and Religious Liberty for the Southern Union of Seventh-day Adventists. He's talking to us from his office in Norcross, Georgia. Kevin, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom.
Good to be here with you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Kevin James, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.